If you've recovered from COVID-19 or unknowingly been exposed to it, you may have antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients. Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies. Visit Vitalant.org today.
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can make a change. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
This is an ode to the glass noodle. You may be glass only in name, but our love for you is crystal clear in every Bibigo Korean dumpling. Your tantalizing texture tickles the taste buds, and while you are see-through, the world can't help but see you. The glass noodle, one of many obsessively crafted ingredients in every plump and juicy Korean dumpling from Bibigo. Go handcrafted. Go Bibigo. Authentic Korean dumplings now in the freezer aisle.
This is Podco Media Networks.
It's the Innovation Podcast with Mark Reed Edwards and Garnett Harriman. Let's start the show.
Hi, it's Mark. On this episode, we hand things over to Lane Jost, environment and America's leader for PwC and a well-known impact investing expert. In the first of two parts, Lane talks to Rory Mitchell, a producer and documentary filmmaker, about the role VR can play in better communicating complex consumer sustainability stories from cereal to climate change. This time, Rory explains the various use cases for VR in brand marketing and how brands can better engage with their audience. So let's get to it.
Well, welcome everyone to the Innovation Podcast. This is Lane Jost, and I am thrilled to be temporarily taking over for Garnett and Mark as we continue to build out content in the iPod. I'm going to be talking about sustainability and corporate social responsibility, and in the context of innovation, which I think is going to provide some really interesting conversations about the future of business, the future of a better version of capitalism, and how listeners can understand what's happening in the world in terms of better consumption patterns, better ways that things like energy and carbon offsetting are being used to actually make the world a better and cleaner place, but also providing returns for shareholders and communities. And I look forward to bringing on some of the innovators in the space and some stories that may be a little bit difficult to tell, but are things that I think from a general audience perspective, folks want to understand. So today, I am thrilled to welcome to the Innovation Podcast, Rory Mitchell. Rory Mitchell is an expert in virtual reality production. He is a Los Angeles guy who's been involved in a number of creative projects from documentary films to theater. And recently, Rory and I had a chance to catch up. I was telling him a little bit about the work that I've been doing in the sustainability space, specifically reporting and doing things like telling customers about carbon offsets. And Rory mentioned his work in VR and sort of immersive experiences. And we just thought this would be a great guest for our show. And so Rory Mitchell, welcome to Innovation Pod. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Lane. Excited to be here.
So Rory, tell us a little bit about your background and how does one become a VR director for a technology that's like fairly fledgling?
Yeah, and for a technology that really encompasses a broad swath of potential uses at this point. I think you summed it up pretty well right there. I'm a VR producer and director coming out of traditional documentary and film work. I have a background in theater, and I started my first VR company with some fellows, especially to bring documentary and theater into the VR world, into 360 video. And so we've ended up working on a lot of interesting projects for various brands, as well as personal passion projects, including the Cascadian Farms film that you saw.
Yeah. So Rory, before we get into Cascadian, what is VR? And I know it sounds like just a ridiculous question, but can you explain to our listeners what exactly is VR from a production standpoint?
So there are lots of fun arguments about what exactly constitutes virtual reality and what does not constitute virtual reality. And then there's another question about what AR is, augmented reality, and how that fits into it. I think the simplest way to understand virtual reality is that anytime you put one of those funny looking headsets on that occludes your vision and puts you in another reality, and when you turn your head or when you move or when you walk around, your environment changes. I think you can think about the augmented reality and virtual reality as being on a continuum. And that continuum speaks to, you've got reality and then you're adding computer generated elements or elements from somewhere else. So on the farthest side of the scale, you've got augmented reality, which is 90% the real world as it is now, and then 10% a computer generated object, whether it is a car that is projected into the space, or I saw something the other day where if you search for a bear on Google, they will then project a bear into your living room. So you could see a bear in his life-size glory. And then on virtual reality, on the other end of that spectrum, is 100% another reality. So your regular reality is entirely removed, and you're just in another world of someone else's creation, whether it is Rome in 100 BC or Mars or a shoot 'em up video game where you're shooting zombies.
Okay. I think that's a really interesting way to disaggregate, because VR and AR, like, they're just omnipresent, like, business jargon terms that are just exhaustively out there, whether it's media, whether it's business publications. And I think what's less clear is, like, okay, well, what are the sort of scalable use cases of these technologies? So, you know, obviously they're being developed and this is a space that you're working in. And so I'd love to get into this a little bit, just back to the theme of sustainability. So Cascadian Farms, which is, for those of you that don't know, is a subsidiary of General Mills and is mainly, I believe, a cereal company. And I have to say, I am a customer of Cascadian Farms. And the brand basically lives in the organic space. And just for the record, the organic food business in the U.S. is no longer a niche business. So in 2018, we're talking about a $52 billion market for total organic food and non-food sales. And almost nearly 6% of all the food sold in the U.S. right now is organic. So the natural sort of recoil then is, okay, but this is a Whole Foods market, this is a high-end market. But if you're talking about 6% of the market, it's definitely not niche. But what's interesting is Cascadian Farms came to you and said, hey, we want to use VR as a tool to tell our brand story, presumably to not just drive sales, but to educate or extol sort of the virtues of their organic farming practices, of the location, I assume somewhere in the Pacific Northwest where they grow their grain. So tell us a little bit about that project and, from sort of a sustainability use case, why VR was a good application and kind of how the project came together.
Yeah, so they didn't come directly to us. They came to, we worked with an agency called Hilo out here with a wonderful director, my friend Kyle Ruddick. And so they kind of came to us because they had not made VR before and they knew that we had been making quite a bit of it, with this idea of transporting viewers to the lovely Skagit River Valley up in Washington State. And Cascadian Farms is now a network of farms up there, organic farms. And the idea was to just show the entire process of the snow melt from the Cascadia into the Skagit River, into the fields that are around the farm. And we did a lot of time lapses. And it's just the most beautiful place up there. And it really brought home what the heart of organic is, I think. And I think that for viewers, that once you are transported to the farm, and now they have tours. If you're a Cascadian Farm super fan, you can go up there and you can take a tour of the farm and you can go to the Skagit River and see the clear snow melt that feeds the underground rivers, that nourishes the land, that provides these gorgeous blueberries and everything else up there. But it's not sustainable to be flying people up there and then driving for 3 hours and, you know, all of that. But this really allows the viewer to, I think, understand where their product is coming from and how it gets to their kitchen table.
If you've recovered from COVID-19 or unknowingly been exposed to it, you may have antibodies that could help COVID-19 patients. Donate blood and receive testing for COVID-19 antibodies. Visit vitalant.org today.
One of the challenges in the sustainability or corporate responsibility world is just like the wonkish nature of some of the vocabulary we like to trade in. So the word that is commonly used in this space is traceability. Traceability, I think, is a big issue in the food space broadly. So seafood is a big one for traceability for sort of obvious reasons. You know, where does that salmon actually come from? Is it wild? Is it farmed? What are the third-party standards that assure that that's happening? Back to your Cascadian story, sustainability is this concept that basically no one understands. And an easy way to talk about sustainability in the context of this conversation is just like, how can we produce more cereal with less inputs like water and fertilizer and obviously using organics versus non-organics. But I think it's interesting that for you, and you go up to the Skagit River with your VR crew and you did all this time-lapse work. And by the way, we'll be sure to link the video in the show notes. And it had a lot of success on various social channels. And tell us a little bit about sort of the reaction to the work and how you think that kind of work can continue and go elsewhere.
You know, I think one of the benefits of 360 video right now is that you don't have to have a headset in order to consume it. These videos play very well in YouTube and in your Facebook newsfeed. And when we made that film, Facebook had just started implementing 360 video in the newsfeed. And so this was one of the first videos, I think, that really took advantage of that. So I think it had 7 million hits between YouTube and Facebook. You know, we spent a while scrolling through the comments on the Facebook video where people just had their minds blown. Because the way it works is if you don't have a headset, is it uses the gyroscope and the accelerometer in your phone so that if you wave your phone around, it looks as though the view changes accordingly. People were really blown away and enthusiastic about getting to see that view of the farm up there. And I think that there's, in some way, 360 video is more honest than a 16:9 traditional frame, because people understand, we're all savvy media consumers at this point. And so we all understand that just out of frame, there's someone with a big light, or there's someone painting blueberries, or something like that. But 360 video in some way, because it shows you everything around, is more honest, I believe, that there is a more truthful aspect to it. I mean, yes, we can like edit it and futz around with it, but it still provides a more authentic view, I think, of spaces and places and people.
For layman's terms, you mentioned like Facebook and having the 360 attributes on its feed. And then so your Cascadian Farms video that I've watched on YouTube without a headset. So basically what we're saying is like VR can still be sort of appreciated without headsets.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely.
Because when I think about VR, it's like, oh, do you need the headset? Like, I guess, how does just the general customer interact with VR today with like some of the work you do?
I think that they're kind of two like broader use cases for consumption. If you're going for a broad consumer base, like the Cascadian Farms was, where you want several million hits on social media and driving that, like it's still a very effective way of getting attention. And the cleverer the video is made, the better that works, because people are still excited to wave their phone around and be, it's like a magic window to another world. The other use that we're starting to find more of is when you have a limited number of decision makers and you as a business person are going to go to them, put them in a headset, and then be transported to your factory in Mexico or China or what have you. And so when you're in the room trying to convince someone one way or the other, it's a very powerful thing to put someone into a VR headset and transport them around the world in 7 minutes.
All right, next time, Lane is back with Rory, and they continue the discussion on use cases of VR.
Thanks for joining Garnett and Mark on the Innovation Podcast. Visit theinnovationpodcast.co to subscribe and listen to other episodes.